Hey, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where every week we tackle big questions from a spiritual perspective. I'm Carlos Machado. And since it's December, we've got an extra gift for you this week. I've sometimes wondered if prayer can make a difference when the problem at hand has lasted a really long time. My guest this week, Brian Webster, definitively answers that question. He's a Christian Scientist from Baldwin, Missouri. Here's Brian.
I grew up in what I thought was a fairly normal family, but over the years, discord started creeping in, and it ultimately culminated in my parents getting a divorce when I was in my teens, and that left some deep scars in the family, and there were some very deep divisions between members of the family. I felt like I essentially lost my dad and lost my brother. My father effectively disowned me, and my brother went on his side, if you will. I was in high school when this sort of came to a head, and then I came back from a summer camp to find out that my dad had moved out and had 4 days before I left for my first year of college. But the divisions were deep, and it was a tough time. We did not get together that frequently, but whenever we got together, it was very acrimonious. In fact, sometimes those times together would end abruptly because it was not comfortable for me or for anybody to stick around. Now, I remained very close to my mother, who was a dedicated Christian Scientist, and she and I had that in common. My sister had always been close. But this division within the family was so deep-seated that it persisted for over 25 years. I had come into Christian Science in a heartfelt way, in my own way, my senior year of high school. And so I naturally went to Christian Science to try to think about this situation and heal it. And so that was my go-to, and that was kind of my rock when I was going through these challenging times. I remember thinking, you know, if anything can heal this, love can. That was my first thought. It's like love heals all ills. And when I say that I felt love could heal all ills, I'm referring to God, love with a capital L, which is how we talk about God in Christian Science. I felt that there was nothing too great for God to handle and for God to heal. And so that was my initial approach to this, was thinking, you know, love will heal this and we can be a loving family again. It was not easy. And there were lots of lessons for me in that time too. While I kind of clung to this concept that love will heal all ills, I had to learn some other lessons of my own, the biggest being not to judge. It wasn't easy for me at first not to judge. I felt that I had a good sense of what God's sense of right was, of what love was. And so it was very easy for me to think of them as not living the right sense. And that was my fault. It was very easy for me to judge and say, you know, I think that my lifestyle isn't actually a rebuke to them, but they'll see it my way eventually. And that was a very selfish way of looking at things, but it didn't come to me right away. It took me years to start to see them, as I learned in Christian Science, as God sees them, and see them not as faulty mortals, but to see them as God's perfect children. And so that was probably the biggest lesson I had to learn, was not to judge them. And it took me years to learn that. It was interesting, over the years that this was happening, there were really no signs that anything was changing. I felt like I was the only one that wanted it to change. I knew that my mother wanted to see it change too, because she would have loved to have seen her kids be united and happy. It was hard for me at times to address, because the experiences I had with my brother and my father sometimes were so hurtful that it was hard for me to even think clearly. So I would have to regroup on my own and get back to the basics of Christian Science, just to dig myself out from the hurt and from the temptation to entertain ugly thoughts about them, honestly, because it was not friendly. And so
I would have to wash myself of those thoughts and get to the point where I had a clean slate and could start from the very basics again. And I did this over and over and over again over the years. Love heals all ills. I knew it did. And there were times when I had to ask myself, Father, I prayed. I said, Father, you know, what do I need to do? What? And it started by asking, what do they need to do? But then I realized it was me that needed the fixing. And I needed to see them as God sees them, see them as individuals who were the expression of God themselves, and not attach to them what I was seeing humanly. I had to lift that burden from them in my own thinking, because I was the one that was placing on them the identity of people that could be hurtful, people that could be angry, people that could, you know, be scarred and so forth. That was a burden I placed on them. And I ultimately had to take that burden off of them in how I viewed them, in if I was ever going to see them as God's image and likeness. And that was my challenge. And that's what I did metaphysically. I, you know, layer by layer, I had to unpeel all of those nasty claims if I was ever going to see their real identity as God's children. And that was a piece of work that didn't happen overnight. Like I said, it took years. But it was years of learning, years of progress. I was growing as a Christian Scientist this whole time. I was expanding my own practice of Christian Science in my work and in my church. So I was learning as I went. And this was probably my lab. This is where I had to put it to the test. And I had to do it on a regular basis. It was so interesting when the healing happened. It was sudden. I was with my family, our two young children, and my wife. It was a few days before Christmas. And my brother called me, which he never did. And he said, I've learned the wrong that I've been doing, and I need to get it off my shoulders. He said, I've gone to church. He found a community church. He said, I've just learned there's more to life than what I was seeing. And he said, I just want to let you know how sorry I am and to apologize to you. And he said, I know it's deep and I don't expect you to forgive me, but I just had to say this. And it was so moving for me because at the time that this happened, I was working in a small company and we worked in little cubes. So you could hear the conversations of all our colleagues, you know, in this small office. And there was a gentleman who I worked with, and daily he would call his brother and they would have a conversation and I would hear him talk. And at the end of every conversation, he said, I love you. And it was inconceivable to me that a brother could say that to a brother, because I'd never said that to my brother and he'd never said it to me. And at the end of this conversation, we both said, I love you. It was the best I love you I think I've ever heard. And as a demonstration of how sincere that was, he had his own life and I had mine for years, obviously. And he had a very close group of friends that these friends and he would go on week or 2 week long bike rides somewhere in the world every year. It was their guy time. But the following year, after this Christmas call, he said, would you like to join us on our next ride, which was a week-long trip in Alaska? And I said, Bruce, I don't even have a bike. I don't ride like you guys do. He said, I will send you one of mine so you can train. We ended up going on a bike ride for a week, and my mom was so thrilled to see her two sons reconcile like this that she said, I want to pay for your family to go up at the end of this ride and be with his family at the end of this ride. And the two families spent a week together as a family in Alaska on this vacation. And it was just a healing time. And that wasn't the end of the story, because shortly after that, my dad called me and we started talking and we had nothing in common. I called him every week just to say hello. We didn't have anything to talk about. Sometimes our conversations were 5 minutes long, but it was just a hello. His wife told me sometime later, my father's passed on years ago, and my stepmom said, "Brian, you don't know how much those calls meant to him every week." She said, "He lived for those." I said, "Well, we never talked about anything. We had so little in common." And she said, "Brian, he loved you. He didn't know how to express it. He just didn't know how to say it. But when we talked," she said, "he told her how meaningful that was to him, that I would just even make the effort to say hello. And it meant the world to him." And we did get together with him, my kids and our family, for Christmases. But it was sweet to see all of this come full circle. And like I said, this was 25 or 30 years in the making, but it was a complete healing. And the transformation that we experienced as a family, that there was a bigger hand in all of this than just what we were bringing to the table. It was meant to be. And this is the result. It was the healing and the love that was ultimately expressed in the family that was reunited.
That was Brian Webster from Baldwin, Missouri. Hey, make sure to check out our other show this week. It's about forgiveness, and particularly learning how to forgive yourself. The link is in our show notes, and you won't want to miss it. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Carlos Machado. This show is produced by me, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll see you soon.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.